I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Liberia faces a new invasion, the kind that devours crops and fouls the water. We'll tell you about it in just a few minutes. It's part of our international briefing. But first, a newsmaker interview, Luis Moreno Ocampo. As prosecutor for the International Criminal Court, he's responsible for bringing to justice those responsible for the world's worst crimes, genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. His work spans the globe, from South America to Africa, and some of the most disturbing conflicts in places like northern Uganda, the Congo, and Darfur. He joined us earlier from his offices at The Hague. Welcome. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
In the 1990s, you published the book How to Explain the Dictatorship to Our Children. It was based on your own experiences as prosecutor of members and collaborators of the Argentine military junta. You actually started your career in this type of prosecution. Why do you think you were drawn to this work?
Oh, because I am Argentinian. I'm born in a crazy country. So I was a prosecutor when I was 32 in the first big trial against top commanders after Nuremberg, in fact. It was in 1985, we prosecute our top generals, the military junta. They abduct and kill more than 20,000 people. With the idea to control the guerrillas, and then they can attack civilians. And then almost 17 years later, they called me to offer me this job, the International Criminal Court Prosecutor.
And the ICC, for those who may not remember, was formed in July of 2002. It's considered the court of last resort to prosecute, as we said, the worst of the worst, people who can't be prosecuted for various reasons in their home countries. The ongoing issue is whether this court, a court like this, can ever really be effective, because there's a question of whether the prosecutions can ever really work if the state actors don't recognize the court's authority. And of course, the one issue that's very much in the public mind and a lot of people are aware of is this whole question of what's going on in Darfur. You've accused the Sudanese president, Omar Hassan al-Bashir, of orchestrating crimes against humanity in the Darfur region. He refuses to recognize the authority of the court and says that any attempt to arrest him will be treated as a very serious matter. And there, of course, there are those in the international community who say, who certainly agree with you that war crimes have been committed, but they fear that if a prosecution proceeds, that it'll only make matters worse. How do you respond to that?
In the last 5 years, Mr. al-Bashir, in according with my evidence, is committing a genocide. So how could be worse? I don't understand very well. For the people in Darfur, could not be worse. Maybe it's true, Bashir is threatening that if he stop in Darfur, then he will attack again in South Sudan. But the issue is, okay, you have to protect both. People in South Sudan could not be killed. People in Darfur could not be killed. So both. Basically, the answer to your question is simple. I am a prosecutor in the International Criminal Court. I receive a mandate from 108 states to end impunity, to contribute to the prevention of future crimes. And in particular, in the case of Darfur, the United Nations Security Council, the maximum entity to control peace and security in the world, decided to refer the case to my office and asked me to do justice in Darfur. So that's what I am doing. I cannot give up. I have to do my work there. And answering your question, I think also it's a shame. For the last 5 years, we are now used to the idea there is a genocide in Darfur and nothing happened. So I think the court probably this month will issue a decision, because I request to the court, to the judges, to issue an arrest warrant. If the judges decide that grant my request, that has to be a wake-up call to the entire world. Stop the genocide. It's time to stop the crimes.
But you do not have a police force. A judge in a national court would have police powers to enforce its will,
yeah,
as it were.
But
you don't have an army.
Beauty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the point. We don't need to invade the country. Look, I collect evidence about the crimes of Darfur without visiting Darfur, without invading the country, without sending one soldier. So that's the beauty of the idea. We don't need costly and ineffective military campaigns. It's about legitimacy. And I think if the court issue a decision against Mr. Bashir, his destiny will be face justice, maybe in 2 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. But that is his destiny. The problem is, the court is a permanent court. We can wait. The victims cannot wait.
There's a clip from a film that you're aware of. It's called The Reckoning. It's a documentary about the International Criminal Court. It premiered at the last Sundance Film Festival. And I just want to play a short clip. There's a man at an internally displaced persons camp in Uganda. And this is what he wants to know. Here it is.
The arrest warrant that the ICC has put in place. How can Luis Moreno get the top LRA commanders arrested? Do they have the capacity?
He's, of course, talking about the Lord's Resistance Army, which is a group which has been implicated in crimes against humanity in a number
for
of countries for years.
For 20 years.
For years.
For 20 years.
How do you answer this man's question?
I had the police and the army in Uganda, in Congo, and in the Sudan, in fact. Because when the state cooperated with us, they would put their own police and their own army. And interestingly, in this case, when we request Arles Warren and Mr. Kony, Congo and Uganda, who had a very bad relation with between them, agreed to cooperate with the Corps because they are a member of the treaty. And even Sudan, who was not a member, and this was before my Darfur case, they were also cooperating with me. So basically, this decision was triggering that LRA left northern Uganda. And for the last 2 years, there were no crimes there. So in some way, we helped to control the crimes in northern Uganda. The problem is, international community was not ready to arrest Kony. And what happened now is from this year, Kony was abducting children around the Central African Republic and in Congo. It's not more in Uganda. In this sense, we help this man who talked, but we're not helping yet because he's not arrested in Central African Republic and in Congo. Let me give you an example of what they did. In the last Christmas, they surrounded a village in Congo. They wait for the meeting start, and then they went there and killed everybody, almost 100 persons. After that, they stay. They eat the meal, they slept between the bodies, and they left. So it's a case in which you arrest the top leader, Mr. Kony, and you stop these criminal activities. That's what they need in some cases, is more efforts from states to do the arrest.
And this leads to another question. There's also a situation sometimes arises where no one has clean hands. There are societies in which they're so riven by factions that all sides are engaging in atrocities. What is the court's role in a situation like that?
We are saying this is the limit. This is stop here. And that we did in Congo. We prosecute different militia leaders. And in fact, in Darfur, I am prosecuting the minister of the government. I request an arrest warrant against Mr. President, Mr. Bashir. So that's the point. You have to have discussion, but you cannot commit these massive crimes.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking to Luis Moreno Ocampo. He is prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. Another issue that has surfaced recently, I know you are aware of, is much discussed, particularly in the Arab press, is whether the ICC will engage the recent conflict between Israel and Gaza, or particularly the recent incursion of Israeli forces into the Gaza area. How are you even thinking about this question?
I received 150 communication letters from individuals. The problem I had was that I had no jurisdiction there. But 10 days ago, the Minister of Justice of the Palestinian Authority came to my office, explaining to me that they want me involved, and then they lodged a document accepting the jurisdiction of the court for Gaza. And that is a particular situation because the law say a state can accept the jurisdiction of the court. In this case, is the Palestinian Authority a state in the sense of the law or not? That's the first issue, but now I had to make this decision. I had to analyze this issue and decide if they have authority or not to accept the jurisdiction of the court. If the answer is positive, then I had to analyze the allegation of crimes committed there. Are really crimes committed there? And the third point I had to assess is if there are other judges or prosecutors investigating the cases. If the three answers to these three questions are yes, then I can open an investigation. If not, no.
Which raises the other question. The United States is not a state party. China is not. Russia is not. I don't believe Israel is.
No.
So the question then becomes is how effective can this court really be in expressing the will of the international community if these key international players don't recognize its jurisdiction?
When I was appointed, I was teaching at Harvard. And one of my colleagues told me, Luis, refuse this offer. Without U.S. support, you will be ashamed. You will be 9 years in The Hague doing nothing, receiving a salary for doing nothing, because how are you going to arrest someone? And I started 5 years ago, and I received five floors in a building empty, and now I have 300 people working for me. We opened an investigation in the worst crimes in the world. We started the first trial last week. We're coming to a second trial in a few months. And in addition to that, that is the beauty of this court. It's not just the cases we are doing. It's how we impact in the world. One case in this court have impact in all the world. It's a new era.
Do you hold out hope that the U.S. will ever join the court as a state party?
Look, it's a national decision. Even the previous administration, for instance, in Darfur, was referred by the Security Council. U.S. under the Bush administration could veto the decision, and they did not. And in fact, they were very firm in the idea that crimes in Darfur had to be investigated. And now the new ambassador in U.N., Susan Rice, is also making a strong statement that the U.S. will cooperate with the court in the cases of Darfur, northern Uganda, and Congo. And when Russia started operations in Georgia, they sent to me thousands of communications on civilians who were affected by crimes committed by Georgia. So I have relations with all the state, even the non-state parties, and the court is working.
Do you ever envision a time when there will not be a need for a court such as yours?
That would be great. One of my colleagues told me one day, in 50 years, the court will be a museum. People will come to see how crazy people were in the beginning of the...
You say it'll be a museum.
A museum. Yeah, it will be a museum
what
where people will see.
What do you think of that idea? I think that's a nice idea, but what do you think?
I hope it's right. No, normally they for 5,000 years, humanity was solving conflict through wars. And the idea of a permanent peace is just a new idea. Just it's coming in the last two centuries. Before, peace was just time between war and war. But now with a new idea is coming in the 21st century, use the law to control violence. And in fact, that's the way in which we control violence inside the national states. So now we have to do the same idea in the global world.
Luis Moreno Ocampo is prosecutor for the International Criminal Court. He was kind enough to join us from the studios at The Hague. I thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.